brief word of explanation. I have not forgotten our short series on the teaching of God, but as we are pursuing a study of God in our evening prayer meetings, we've put that on hold, and we are considering various proverbs, the next of which I would like us to consider with God's help is Proverbs 27:17. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Proverbs 27, verse 17. When the Philistines occupied the territory of Israel in the days of Samuel and Saul, we read in 1 Samuel 13 that there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and his mattock. The concern here of the Philistines was clearly not so much that the Hebrews would not have implements for farming, or the slaughtering of the livestock. That's one of the purposes for which cattle and sheep and chickens are raised. But it was because the work of smiths was not simply to sharpen blades for cutting poultry, for example, but sharpening blades for warfare. And they wanted to keep the Hebrews underneath their boot. Well, this proverb is drawn from that world of the smiths, those who, with their hammers and their anvils and their flames, take metal and shape it and craft it and sharpen it for the various purposes that their customers come to them for. So it is drawn from that world of those who sharpen implements and sharpen weapons. And just as it is the case that certain metals sharpen other metals, there is one kind of metal that sharpens its own kind, that is iron. Iron sharpens iron. Well, in this way, Solomon sees something of the wisdom of God in how friends improve each other. True friendship, and this is yet another dimension of friendship as it is set forth in the book of the Proverbs, is a partnership of equals. A partnership of equals where each friend in love seeks to help and especially to improve the other, making both, in the words of Matthew Henry, better and wiser. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Before we get any further, a brief word as to the significance of why the countenance or the face of the friend would need sharpening. Well, again, it's an image, and it's actually a play on words because it is the face of the blade that is sharpened. And so that part of us that is outwardly directed, which others see, and which is our glory, our friends help us to improve. iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. 3 points. First, partnership. Second, love. Third, improvement. Partnership, love, improvement. These three ingredients go into essentially what this proverb is all about. First, it's a partnership. Friendship, it's a relationship, but there are all kinds of relationships that we have. Many relationships that we have is not a partnership of equals. Boys and girls, you are to honor your father and your mother. Now, you have a relationship with your parents, but they're not your equals, right? Friendship, however, is that kind of relationship in which you have two individuals who are equals. Think about David and Jonathan. They were friends. They were partners. They were companions. Now, in one sense, they weren't, because one was the heir to the throne by the appointment of God. Yet, they function as companions and friends. The other doesn't look down the nose at the other. The other doesn't cower before this other friend, or take all kinds of commandments, go and do this. No. The centurion said, I say to my servant, go, and he goes, and come, and he comes. That's not the kind of relationship this proverb is speaking about right now. It's one of equals. It's one of partners who treat each other as such. Iron sharpens iron. It's the same material. It's the same stuff. And in this regard, what a wonder it is that God condescended, as it were, to be the equal of man. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. Well, we can understand something of that when we consider what our friendships are like. There is a certain intimacy, a mutual respect and love, because we're equals. Second, love. Love. Friendship in its truest form, and that's really what the Proverbs is doing, because there are many look-alike friendships. They seem like friendships, but they're not the real thing. Some of you can discern a knockoff name brand purse, for example. You look closely, you realize this isn't the real thing. Well, Proverbs is dealing not with any friendships that people want to call friendships. It's talking about the real thing. Because there are many friendships in this world that are simply loose arrangements of people who share common interests. They like to have fun together. You know, you've got your coworkers. We work together. Well, I've got my friends and we have fun together. No, there's nothing wrong with fun in its place. But if that's what a friendship is all about, it's not a real friendship. Friendship, in its truest form, is one that is defined by love, and love as God defines it. Love that genuinely wants the best for the other. It's not just about me. Have you ever been in those kind of relationships? They have a relationship with you. They call you, they text you, they go out to eat with you, but they're doing it really because it all serves their interest. And when you stop serving that interest, well, then they're done with you. True friendship loves the other. love, does no ill toward the other, for love is the fulfilling of the law. For all the commandments, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, all of these is comprehended under this saying, says the Apostle Paul, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, how many of you love yourselves? I'm guessing every single one of you, if you're really going to be honest with yourself. Why is it that when your shoes are uncomfortable that you get rid of them and get new ones? Why is it that when you're done with a nice meal that you serve yourself up some ice cream? Well, friends, it's just a part of being human is to love yourself. Well, that comes pretty easily for most of us who are not criminally insane. What God's word calls us to, what his law calls us to, and that's one reason it's so precious as we considered this morning, is that the golden rule, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, it is in and of itself so precious that shows forth something of the divine. And in true friendships, there is this interest in the other. I really care about you. I'm really listening to you. I'm really showing you that I care. I'm sticking with you even when other people are saying that I shouldn't. No, it's love. And it's a partnership of love that is genuinely interest in helping the other. And love, it's not just a feeling. Oh, friends, that is such a worldly notion of love, is that it's just this warm feeling. Well, you know what? True love has to soldier through when you don't feel like loving the other person. But you know that God has put you there not just to love them with your feelings, but to love them with your hands and your words, to be a helper, mutually helpful. I help you, you help me. Two are better than one, for if they fall, they will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they have heat. But how can one be warm if he is alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. Or the Puritan Richard Greenham puts it beautifully. And as two eyes see more, two ears hear more, two hands can do more than one. So this is a special communion of saints, and God hath promised that when two or three are gathered to in his name, that he will be there. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. But now, third and last, and we're going to get deeper into this because this is the edge of the proverb, or to use the Hebrew idiom, the face, the countenance of the proverb. Friendship aims to improve each other, making them better thems. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. What's the purpose of the sharpening process? When it's iron on iron, the purpose is to be sharpened and to sharpen each other when two blades come together. Friendship aims to improve each other. we do not enter into friendships in anything like a state of perfection, but one of development. We are not as focused and driven as we should be. We are not as wise. We are not as thoughtful, as considerate, as understanding as we should be. We are not as experienced. We haven't seen everything, done everything as we might like. We are not as kind, not as pure, not as trustful, not as truthful, not as dependable, not as holy as we should be and as we would be. Now that's the case with all human beings, but do not the saints of God know this in a more profound and intimate way? Because yes, we've become a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But we're not yet what we will be. In fact, sometimes we feel like we're very, very far from it. And the moment that we think we're close, God knocks us down and says, you better walk low and dependent upon me. And for your benefit, I'm giving you a friend in the process of becoming a better you. For the believer, becoming the true you, causing all the layers of that which is just not what it should be to fall away. That the blunt edge should be sharpened. And so God gives friendships to his people because they grow dull and blunt and become spiritually and practically ineffective. The loving partnership of equals helps each other do what neither could do alone. It's not good for man to be alone. And so God gives companions and friends. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Now, what is it that they improve? What are we talking about when we say that the edge becomes dull and it becomes harder and harder to hack or to cut or whatever we're doing, and so it needs to be sharpened? What does Solomon have in mind? Well, friends improve each other's morale. When the one is downcast and discouraged, why are your hearts heavy? Why are you cast down? Why are you troubled? You see, sometimes by constantly going out into the world and having to contend and deal with all these different forces that are against us, we feel the edge of our confidence and our strength being dulled and blunted. We just lose our drive. We feel ourselves so discouraged. Well, that's why the brothers and sisters exhort one another daily and encourage each other, comfort each other with these words, Jesus is coming again. They improve their resolve, their determination to take up the cross of Christ and follow him. Perhaps this in particular is especially connected with the idea of the iron sharpening iron, the blade that is to go and to be used in battle to fight. the friends, they improve each other's wisdom and understanding by dialogue, by talking back and forth. There is wisdom in a multitude of counselors. We improve our understanding among our friends. Friends improve by sharpening each other. They improve their conduct. Notice in Hebrews 10:25, we frequently quote this verse about going to church. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but both before and after we have the language of that interpersonal encouragement and exhortation, verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Sometimes we need to be prodded and poked. One sister needs the other sister to challenge. One brother the other to be exhorted, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. This is true friendship. This is true friendship. Improving each other, not content with the status quo. It's so very easy just to settle and just to hit cruise control. But the best kind of friendship is one in which both aspire to help the other. Whether it's the friendship of a Christian marriage, a husband and a wife, or the friendships of any Christians with each other. They aim to improve each other. Iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And by doing this, they ultimately seek to improve their happiness. Now, how do they improve each other? Three general ways. First, by counseling, by invigorating, and by correcting. By counseling. And this really begins with simply talking with each other, conferring. Our Puritan forebears would speak about godly conference, conferring with each other. Now, certainly that involves generally everything that is going on in our life, but there is, for those who are good, real, true, biblical friends, there's always this gravitational pull to the most important things of life, to the things of God in our souls, and how we are to live before Him in this world. And so those disciples on the road to Emmaus, they were speaking with each other. Now, they were downcast, they were discouraged, and they were really struggling. This cord of two strands needed a third, but they were talking. They were conferring. They that fear the Lord spake often one to another. If you're a careful reader of the New Testament, you will notice that frequently in the passages where the apostles are giving directions, life directions for God's people, there is a lot of language about one another. It's not all about the pastor simply giving a bunch of information and then all the people quietly file out the door. No, there's an awful lot more. There is the conversation that God's people are having. And there is the speaking of truth. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Even when we sing psalms, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and in spiritual songs. Sisters, if you find something that really gets your heart, you go to the other and you say, this really blessed me. Sometimes the counseling, sometimes it's by invitation. We ask, would you give me some guidance about something? Sometimes maybe we need to volunteer that at times. Now, none of that is going to be done in some kind of a manner that devalues and degrades the other, because again, there will always be the sensitivity that we are equals, we are companions, and we love each other, and we want to help each other, and we want each other to improve, and so there's going to be some sharpening. Invigorating. I think of Joab, who, with his brother Abishai, they're fighting in battle. They encourage each other. Play the man for Israel. Sometimes we need to be stirred up. We need to be aroused. Maybe a certain brother is really downcast and he keeps on giving answers, negativity again and again. And out of love, perhaps we need to say, dear brother, hope in God. Hope in God. Is Christ no longer on his throne? Is he not in control of everything? Dear brother, you've got to understand this. And this bleeds, of course, into correcting. You know, when you apply iron on iron, there's going to be heat, there's going to be sparks. But again, it is all done in love and for the advantage of the other. This is the heartbeat of all friendship when it comes to correction. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the words of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. This is what true friendship is. True friendship is that partnership of equals. True friendship involves that love of the other as one loves oneself and seeks genuinely always to help. And true friendship involves mutual improvement. Sometimes by giving advice and receiving it, sometimes by encouraging, other times by stirring up, and yes, sometimes by correction. It is a sweet ointment poured upon my head when my brother corrects me in love. Now, some closing words of application. For superficial friends in superficial friendships, be real friends, not fake friends. It's so very easy to have superficial and fake friendships when one is not a child of God. Because all they have is what everyone else has in this life. Eating, drinking, giving in marriage, but they have nothing more. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And so party on with your friends, because that's all you have with them. But oh, if you would be wise, become the friend of God by conversion. And be real friends with friends. and be friends on the move to improve. And if you don't have real friends, then get them. And if you have fake friends, then unfriend them. For those walking in isolation, it may be that you don't have fake friends, but perhaps your problem is that you're alone. It is not good to be alone. Well, if that's the case with you, then what are you doing about it? Have you laid it before the Lord? Have you regularly made a point to ask Him, God, would you bring into my life a friend who will really be helpful to me and I to him? You have not because you ask not. If you are the friend of God as Moses, as Abraham was, by conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ, then no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So ask God, and then put yourself in context where you can develop friends who are worthy of the name. Those who you can sharpen and be sharpened by and improve each other. For dull and unsharpened friends. And let's face it, even the best of friends and companions grow dull and unsharpened. Sharpen each other. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Counsel and be counseled. You have something between these two ears. You have eyes to see, to perceive what's going on in your friend's life, and they with you. So help each other. Don't just keep on talking about the weather. I mean, the weather's a nice subject, but there's a lot more to talk about. Counsel and be counseled. And the Apostle Paul said that he had confidence in the Romans. All the Christians, not just the pastors and elders, but all the rank and file Christians, I have confidence in the Lord. That you are able to counsel one another. Now, I'm not disparaging the place for professional counselors, but I would say, oftentimes Christians not just underestimate the advantage of their pastors to counsel them, but of their own brothers and sisters in Christ. You don't need a degree to counsel your sister, your brother. You already have the degree by your baptism, by your profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Invigorate and be invigorated. You got two cold hands? I have two cold hands a lot. You put them together and you rub. Why are you discouraged? Why are you downcast? It's probably because you're not conferring with your brothers and sisters, or you're conferring with people who don't have anything to offer you. Encourage, stir up. You know, we need encouragement to be stirred up all the time. Swinnick says, Christian society, like rubbing iron against iron, takes away that rust which made them so dull and inactive and sets a spiritual edge upon them. Don't you find that? When you really have a deep and a meaningful conversation with a brother or sister in the Lord, you just find yourself
all regenerated.
I feel new. I really, really needed that. Swinnick also says that a certain Dutch pastor named Urbanus Regius, he met with Luther and spent a whole day in conference with him and said that he never had a more quickening, comforting day all his lifetime. You know, I've got somebody in my life, and I've got more than one, but one comes to my mind in particular. Anytime I go and talk with him, I feel like whatever frozenness is in my soul is warmed up to burning when I'm done. Oh, let's, by God's grace, seek to be those kinds of friends. Friends, when it's necessary, correct and be corrected. Correct and be corrected. There is a place for correction. Now, don't belittle, don't berate, don't abuse your friend. That's not a partnership of equals. That's you trying to be superior over the other. There is that speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Do not return violence for violence. Do not fuss, fight, and feud. One thinks of Moses when he came between his two brethren, seeking to set them at one again, said, "Sirs, ye are brethren. Why do ye wrong to one another?" This is not what we're talking about here. We're talking about constructive criticism. We're seeking to build the other person up and not to tear them down, to help them. And sometimes that means pointing out areas of sin and faults and indiscretions. Correct and be corrected. Do it constructively. Do it lovingly. As best as you're able, do it winsomely. Meekly. Some practical guidelines for this kind of iron, sharpening iron. First, if she needs correction, love her. If he needs to be shown that he's being stubborn, love him. You can't go into such a conversation where he gets corrected and you don't love him. That's a recipe for disaster. Second, pray for him. We should constantly be praying for each other, but all the more when we feel like we need to open a wound and apply some painful medicine. Pray, "Oh God, sanctify my heart. Help me to say the right words. Help me so that I don't have any motivations that are impure. Lord, if I'm off here, please stop me before I do it. Lord, please soften his heart. May he not read into what I'm saying." Pray. Third, praise him. Now, when I say this, I mean two things. First, praise your friend from time to time when it's appropriate. I'm not talking about flattery. We don't need flattery, but sometimes we need encouragement. So, you know what? I was so encouraged when you said this. Or when you showed up and you did that, it was very helpful for me. Now, if you're doing that on a periodic basis, you will be very much helped in trying to share something that's not easy. In fact, you may think of doing that as a kind of preparation before the word of correction. You know, sister, I want to say a number of things that I've seen in your life that are positive. Or brother, I want to point out that you did this thing that was really helpful, but can I just say this? Can I share this? And I don't mean it to be rude. Iron sharpens iron. Have his respect and trust. And that means you've got to have the kind of life that gives you the strength to be able to say anything. Now, if you're extremely inconsistent or obviously hypocritical, you will be so ineffective, you might as well say nothing. You know, if you're going to go into battle with a sword, make sure you've got a hilt at the bottom, or else you will have no force to wield it. Fifth, if at all possible, talk privately. If at all possible, talk privately. Now, sometimes that cannot be done. Paul had to rebuke Peter openly because there was open sin. But if you can talk privately, and you see this in Matthew 18, the way to gain somebody is to do things in such a careful way as that you don't unduly provoke them to pride and defensiveness and self-righteousness. Because if other eyes are watching, how do people receive correction? Not easily. It's not easy to receive correction even when other eyes aren't watching, but all the more when they are. But also, let us be sharpened by our friends. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Don't be touchy. Don't be prickly and defensive. And let's face it, it's so easy to get defensive when somebody points out a fault or a weakness. And the only way to reduce our defensiveness and our touchiness and our pride is by walking lowly with God all the time before that and humbling ourselves constantly so that if I'm already low to the ground, I can't go any lower. Listen. You know what? They may not be quite on target. They may be off in some area, or they may be exaggerating something. It never hurts just to keep those two lips together and just listen. And then you can say, you know what? I'm going to go back and I'm going to think and pray about that. Let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Above all, let Jesus be your friend. And he's the best friend. He's the only friend that doesn't need to be sharpened. But his sharpening is the best sharpening that there can be. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Amen. Let us rise and close in prayer. Our God, how thankful we are for the blessings that we have been shown in a friend who has done infinitely more for us than any other. Teach us to be friends to him and friends to others, to all men, but especially to those who are friends of God. Teach us how to be good friends and to sharpen each other, O Lord, and perfect us, O God, we pray, through thy Son, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. We'll close singing from Psalm 141. Psalm 141, verses 1 through 6, to the tune Beatitudo, tune number 190. Psalm 141, verses 1 through 6. O Lord, I unto thee do cry, do thou make haste to me, and give an ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee.
Shall sweet be tuned.
rise to receive the benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.